Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, that's the sound of cool jazz coming out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's Penn Jillette on the mic, sitting here with Michael Goudeau on Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Penradio at gmail.com, penradio.com. We're going to talk today two subjects about a dominatrix. A dominatrix in New Orleans has a question for us that I think is really interesting. We're going to open up the phone lines to that. It's it could be considered a Zen cone, but yet it's law. And we're also going to talk, and I someone said, why does Penn talk about atheism all the time? Who is he trying to convince? Blah, blah, blah. I should not talk about atheism all the time. I do not want to talk about atheism all the time. But God damn it to hell. Stuff keeps coming up to get in my craw. There's a lot of stuff stuck in my craw. And I know that when I'm, you should all know that I'm talking about atheism, I'm talking about freedom of religion, right? Because if the atheists aren't free to not believe, no one in this country is absolutely free to believe what they want. You have to have complete and utter freedom of religion. And if you want to have respect for all the whack jobs that believe in their imaginary friends, you have to have respect for the whack jobs who do not believe in imaginary friends. And Katie Couric has made a statement. Here it is. In an introduction, in a letter, in a Lester Holt news item yesterday, Katie Couric said that there are no atheists in foxholes. This statement proves she's ready to anchor the CBS network news, since it is A, catchy, B, written by someone else, and C, demonstrably false. Didn't do a good job of the word. By the way, foxhole is what media insiders call Bill O'Reilly. Just so. And there's this whole deal, you know, because whatever her name, Meredith Vieira or something? Is that the way you pronounce her name? I don't know. She will move to NBC to co-host the Today Show as Katie Couric joins CBS. And as part of this very complicated deal, Walter Cronkite will have to sit on a couch with Star Jones and Joy Behar. Not on The View. He just has to sit on a couch for a while to be punished for it all to work together. I have a letter, an open letter to Katie Couric from a great man who's a friend of mine, who's a military man, retired, and has a great service record, and also has a great service record, and also is an atheist. And I'll tell you about how I met him, and I'm going to read his letter all the way through to Katie Couric, because I found it rather moving. But first, dominatrix. This is a letter to the big radio show here. This is someone who wrote to penradio@gmail.com. This is not a short letter, but it has sex in it. So I think I can read the whole thing. That's the way it works, I think, on this show. I'm going to take a sip of tea first. Dear Mr. Jillette, I already like that. I already like that. She's not being overly familiar right away. I have long admired you. I like that. As well as Mr. Teller. Don't like that. Not only for your talent, but also for your unwavering determination to speak your mind, regardless of the outcome. That part scares me. The unwavering determination to speak your mind, I am so down with. Regardless of the outcome, not down with, just so you know. There are some outcomes that would shut my goddamn mouth in a New York second. If I am threatened, if I'm actually threatened for what I'm saying, I am so shutting up right now. If you can prove to me that someone is actually going to, I mean, I'm so for freedom of speech, okay? I want freedom of speech for everyone, and that to include me. But if you start saying, you know, we have freedom of speech, but Penn, open your mouth again, we're going to shoot you in the head, I'm out of there. I'm out of there. You know, the phrase credible death threat? No, that means I shut up. I have recently subscribed to your radio show podcast, and I listen to the latest installment each morning. It's a fabulous way to start my day. When I heard this morning that an upcoming Bulls hit episode.
Wow, that would have been really funny the other way.
Do over.
Okay. Take a sip of tea. Calm down.
Calm down.
It's going to be okay.
We'll focus on prostitution. I decided to email you and solicit your opinion on an issue that has plagued me for years. She also capitalizes the M in me. You'll find out why soon. After 9 years, a professional mistress, I retired in March 2005 after having been been voted the world's most desired dominatrix. I'd always heard it was best to go out on top. Little joke there. During my career, I was instrumental in the creation and implementation of several BDSM organizations. That's bondage, discipline, sadomasochism organizations in both New Orleans, or as you say, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge, which means, of course, red stick. Taught countless workshops and gave innumerable speeches and presentations at conventions, and was, and still am, I suppose, considered to be one of the most respected dominants in the Baton Rouge, New Orleans area. I tell you these things not to just to toot my own horn, my is capitalized, although as a mistress that is something I often can't help, but to provide you with a brief overview of my credentials, if you will. If necessary, I can provide you with verifiable details if you like. Suffice to say, I'm no poser, nor I'm a fly-by-night internet insta-dom. That having been said, now we're getting to the question. That having been said, my question to you is one that I have wondered about for a long while. I have asked it of many people, both lifestyle and vanilla. That means both sexual whack jobs and people like you. and no one has been able to supply me with an answer I felt satisfactory. I'm confident that you'll be able to do what no other could. If I wanted to, okay, now it starts, this is the Zen cone part of it. If I wanted to have sex with you and you wanted to have sex with me, we could do that and no one would bat an eye. It's perfectly legal. If I wanted to have sex with you and you wanted to have sex with me and you pay me for the privilege, I could go to jail. It's against the law. If I strip you naked, tie you up, take out a single-tail whip, and thrash you like a rented mule at your request and with your consent, I could go to jail. The law considers it to be assault, and at least in Louisiana, the law states that a person cannot consent to be assaulted. If I strip you naked, tie you up, take out a single-tail whip, and thrash you like a rented mule at your request and with your consent, and you pay me for the privilege, it's perfectly legal. Can you explain this? I'm not complaining, of course, as this hypocrisy has helped me to make a great deal of money. Still, it always made me wonder, why is it that sex for money is illegal and what essentially amounts to assault for money is not? I am most anxious to hear your thoughts on this and eagerly await your response. Respectfully, Mistress Victoria Thrashing, the Bell from Hell, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, that's 3733, penradio@gmail.com. We're going to really open up the phones on this one. Going to open the phones for this one because it is free FM and people should speak their mind, and because I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. But, I mean, the answer, of course, you always, with legal questions to me, and this is, of course, no one else agrees with me on this, you always go down to morality. You always go down to ethics and what is right and what is wrong. And the fact of the matter is that prostitution should not be illegal, and it should not be legal to consent to BDSM. You should be able to do all that. So what should be is the really important thing. I guess the only thing I come up with is, I guess if you pay, you prove that you really want it? I mean, what is the thinking behind this? I guess there's no thinking behind this. I mean, the people that made the legislation did not say, okay, let's make it so if you have sex for money, it's illegal, but if you have BDSM for money, it's legal. They didn't do it that way. It all grew up like a psychotic
just rolling vine. Down a hill.
But I'm sure that some of our listeners will be able to untangle this Gordian knot of legality. I don't even know if that's true in other states. They could also call them.
Yeah, you know, it's Louisiana. We have some great laws down there in Louisiana, man. It's just crazy.
Now you know from Louisiana.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm from Baton Rouge.
Are you really?
I grew up in Red Stick.
And does me. Are you playing music behind this?
Wow, that's cool. Oh, you know what?
That's your phone?
It's a new phone. Yeah, it's cool, okay. Though, isn't it?
Yeah. You had your cell phone on during the show.
It's a new one. I don't know how to turn it off.
Give him the phone. Happy Jack has confiscated the phone. I thought, see, after they did that thunder sound the other day.
You thought they were doing special effects?
I thought they were doing something. And that was some sort of, you know, swamp song. What song was that?
I don't even know the song. I'm telling you, it's a brand new phone.
Brand new phone.
A brand new phone. I have not even had time to look at it.
And that's the that's the out-of-the-box
that's
sound?
That's the out-of-the-box sound they came with, yeah.
Michael Goudeau?
I bought it on eBay, you know, and the instructions came in Spanish. I don't know how to program it. Oh, there we go.
Dial it. Dial your number.
Dial my number?
Yeah.
I don't know what my number is. What are you talking about?
You're going to try to figure out what the song is? This is Name That Tune. What's Happy Jack has just hijacked the show here. What do you got? You want him to call? You know, I have his phone number, but I don't have a phone.
I got it. Okay. I dialed it.
Call yourself. We'll hear it.
I turned it off.
Why did you buy your phones on eBay?
I did this time.
Why?
Oh, you know, it's a long story that we don't want to go into about an unpleasant store.
Okay.
I think we're not allowed to say how much I hate the particular store.
It's not just that you're not allowed to say
it. But I can tell you their initials.
It's also not right.
Yes.
You have this forum to talk to people.
I can tell you what it rhymes with. I'll do it as Scooby-Doo says it. Restaurant. Let's just say they will not honor their extended warranty.
Never mind. Shut up.
I know.
Shut up.
I'm not happy about it. You pushed me on it.
I did not push you. What? Shut up is pushing you on it?
That's pushing me.
That's pushing you? I said shut up. Go right now. Shut your mouth.
See, I work with you.
Shut up.
I know when you say shut up, you mean go ahead.
No, I don't.
I work with you all the time.
I mean shut up. I mean shut up.
No.
I mean shut up. We're waiting for someone to call up and explain this dominatrix thing. I have a few other little news things that I really like here. Astronomers have discovered two enormous black holes spiraling towards a collision that will create a single supermassive black hole, an event they have not witnessed since the merger of America Online and Time Warner. And this is a bipartisan group of lawmakers has introduced a bill that would ban junk food from schools, ignoring the fact that no one ever sang "When I Look Back on All the Crap I Ate in High School." Junk food is what gets you through the junk science, junk social studies, and junk testing until you get your junk degree. And this is my favorite news story right here, my very favorite ever. You want to listen very carefully to this. A very powerful quake hit the Pacific zone 6 kilometers beneath Fiji, but no tsunami warning was issued. Seismologists were delighted when they learned that every letter of the alphabet was used in the first sentence. There's a little typing test for you. A very powerful quake hit the Pacific zone 6 kilometers beneath Fiji, but no tsunami warning was issued. Every letter of the alphabet in there. But I didn't check it. I was reading the New York Times today.
Uh-huh.
There's a review of a... I don't read reviews of anything.
Right. Other than this one.
But I happened to see one sentence jumped out. I'm not even going to say the name of the movie because it doesn't matter. I know nothing about it. But this is what they describe, okay? This is what they describe. A bittersweet comedy about the drama of being alive. Is there anyone on the planet that has any interest in seeing that? Bobby Slayton, you know Bobby Slayton.
Yes.
He's in The Aristocrats. Very funny guy. He has a whole hunk of his show about that, you know, about how he wanted to go see a movie about the people under the stairs, who were people who ate people in the house and killed them. And his wife said, no, let's go to something family and wonderful and loving. And Bobby Slayton says, I have a family. I have love. I don't have people under the stairs that eat people. I want to go to a movie and see something different. You know, and that's exactly it. I do not want to see a bittersweet comedy about the drama of being alive. I want to see Slither.
We're all living that one.
Exactly.
That's another movie about me.
Sure. You don't want that at all. We have Slither out. We have a movie about giant slugs that crawl in and control your brain. And great, that's what you want to go see. Just tell me right now, if you're going to go to a movie, don't see a bittersweet comedy about the drama of being alive. Is it a comedy or is it a drama? What the hell is it? We got any phone calls?
We do. We have line 6, Jeremy.
Jeremy, talk to me.
Hey, Ben, what's up?
What's up, man?
Nothing. I had an opinion about that whole thing down in Louisiana.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Right. I was stationed down in Fort Polk, Louisiana, so I know just how screwed up the law system is down there.
Okay.
My thought on it was, because sex is a sin of the, supposedly a sin of the flesh, you can't pay for a sin. But since getting your ass kicked isn't quite a sin, I guess you can pay for that.
Okay. So you think it all goes back to the Judeo-Christian idea of sin. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. That's some of the, you see, he takes it back to a moral thing. I guess the fact is that you're not supposed to like getting beaten. So if you pay for something you're not supposed to, I don't know. Is there any other phone
calls? There's line 8.
Okay,
Ernesto.
Let's take line 8.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
Who is it? What's his name?
It's Ernesto.
Ernesto. You there, Ernesto?
He wants to talk about the Baton Rouge sex laws.
Ernesto. You there, Ernesto?
He's not.
Stan Michael, how are you guys?
There
doing?
He is.
Doing very well. How are you, man?
Very good. Michael, I got a question for you.
Okay.
From Louisiana, you know the laws down there.
A little bit, yeah.
Illegal to have sex for money.
It's yes.
However, legal to get beaten up for money. What if a session of sadomasochism, the two people consentingly have sex? Can she then legally accept money for that?
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, dominatrix, professional dominatrix, are not allowed to have sex. That's where the whole line. It's if you want to go to a dominatrix that you find like online to beat you up and stuff, they will be very careful not to have anything that can be construed by your local laws as sex. I know that for. I've heard that for a fact.
Read that somewhere.
Read that somewhere. So yeah, the thing is that they are both clearly sex acts if you're into that kind of thing. But Ernesto, that's not the line. It's a really good question. Yeah. And you know, sometimes it's good to have an imponderable question to fall asleep to at night, to just kind of wander, have your mind go over and kind of be imponderable. But this is an upside, because not only is it imponderable, but it's also very, very sexy. I want to say before we go to break, yesterday I was talking about Darwin, as yes. I often am, and I said Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest. And as I was saying it, of course, I knew it was wrong. I just could not think of the phrase natural selection. And everybody and his brother and nephew wrote in and said that it was not Charles Darwin's survival of the fittest. That's not his phrase. Who is it?
Herbert Spencer.
Herbert Spencer's
coined
phrase.
The term.
Yeah. And the idea of evolution existed before Darwin and before Wallace. Wallace is the one that worked with Darwin on the theory.
Wallace was so cool.
Wallace was really cool.
I love Wallace.
He like lived in a tree or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's a complete whack job.
Whack job. Love Wallace.
evolution worked out really nicely because Wallace had the ideas that spurred on Darwin.
Yes.
Wallace was a whack job.
I believe Wallace threatened to publish, and that's what drove Darwin forward.
Right. And Darwin was a really sensible, pleasant gentleman, so and well-respected. So when he wrote it, it really meant something. And then you had Huxley, who was a nut on the other side, a really heavy, rational, hard-debating, hard-yelling guy. And Huxley defended, Darwin wrote,
Wallace was walking around on islands in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
He was catching bugs for a living.
He was just a nut. But what they came up with, the most important part, is natural selection.
Yes.
And survival of the fittest is Spencer before that. We'll be back. We're going to talk a lot about Katie Couric and her talk about No Atheists in Foxholes. 866-313-FREE, 3733, penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. We'll be back. You can still call about the dominatrix, too. That was almost just me for a while playing the bass. Mike Jones.
That was a cool one.
Go to penradio.com. If you go there, you can just click on it and go to Jones Jazz and get some Mike Jones CDs of all the Penn Jillette theme music there. 866-313-FREE, 3733. And Godot tells me, I don't get to see the calls, but Godot tells me we are maggoty with calls about the dominatrix. Didn't you say there was a really sexy one? I wanted to. What line is that?
Amy on line 6.
Line 6. How you doing, Amy?
Hey, pretty good. How are you, Penn? It's great to talk to you. I love your
great
show.
Great to talk to you. Talk to me.
Hey, I can't Teach explain me. Why prostitution is illegal, except that it would just completely break down American family society. That's the only thing I can think of.
How but would it break down American family society?
Well, if people could just pay for sex, they'd quit procreating, and then the economy, I don't know. I
no,
can't imagine.
They wouldn't quit procreating. You can have sex with you can have the fun of fooling your body into thinking it's entering the gene pool without entering the gene pool, even without money being exchanged. For my entire adult life, up until 2 years ago, I only wanted to fool my body into thinking it was entering the gene pool because my body seemed to enjoy that. But go on with your point, Amy.
But the distinguishing factor between an assault and, you know, just an S&M act is the exchange of money. The only thing I can think of is that's the only way that when cases go to court, or, you know, or the law is brought into it because somebody got a little bit too, you know, abrupt, is that the exchange of money proves that it was like an implied contract or a verbal contract. And so, but when somebody does it for free and it gets nasty, then they don't have any proof or any evidence or any kind of compensation that exchanged hands.
So your
point, I don't know why you can't do that for sex, because to me it's the same thing. It's just like getting a massage or something.
So your
all
point
kinds
of view,
of people, they do your nails and they do your feet and everything. They do all kinds of things to you for money. So
right, your point of view is that it's essentially bookkeeping. That once you've exchanged money, then you can say, yes, they really wanted it because I got this money for it. And just out of curiosity, Amy, what's your safe word?
My what?
Never mind. Just wanted to know what side of that particular fence you're on. Thanks a lot, Amy. We got another call here?
We do. We have Mike from Chicago on line 8.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man?
Hi, guys. Love your show. Listen to you every day.
You know Tony Fitzpatrick?
Can't say I do.
Okay, but you Not know personally. Of him, right? You're Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Well, it's both matters are a question of protection, not really morality. I will say that Louisiana runs off of what I think is known as Napoleonic law, which is kind of archaic, but at any rate, in the case of masochism, if you get beat up, you could be intimidated into saying that you consented, but money shows that you really truly do consent. Like the previous caller said, it's kind of like a contract, just to prove that you weren't intimidated. Uh-huh. And on the prostitution side of things, well, the fact is that if it was legal and you could pay for it, every woman who didn't have a job would run out and go and do that, and then that's a whole other ball of wax.
That's not true.
Oh, sure it is. Who wants Lily to be a Tomlin waitress wouldn't. When you can go and do that, you know?
Lily Tomlin wouldn't. Lily doesn't have a job. Lily Tomlin wouldn't. Okay, every woman in the U.S. except Lily Tomlin? Can you go? No, but I mean, really, there are many, many women who, if prostitutes... I can't believe it. A guy just called up and said all women are whores.
No. Didn't say that. Not yet.
But you said the only thing that stops women from going into prostitution is a law against it or a job. Is that your point?
Well, largely. And the other thing is women could be intimidated into doing something like that. You know, that's part of the problem. You have to protect people. You have to protect women. You have to protect people getting beat up, and that's why the laws are in place.
Right, but so now that you have said all women are whores, let's talk about me beating you up. but couldn't I, if I could threaten you into saying that you wanted me to beat you up for S&M purposes, couldn't I also threaten you into saying that you gave me money?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible, but then there's different ways around it. I mean, it just becomes a more concrete thing, and you have to establish that contract.
So you think that, I'm saying that the contract, so you're saying that the money only acts as essentially a piece of paper
exactly.
that would say you paid. So if we had a contract that said notarized, oh, how sexy is that? Man, I just said the sexiest thing in the world. If you had a letter, so you bring in, you're there in your full leather mask and your codpiece, and then, you know, she's there in, I mean, I don't even know who's the top and who's the bottom on this, but you're both dressed in your full leather, and you've got all the whips there, and then you have your notary come in?
Yeah.
Oh, because my notary is this great middle-aged Hispanic woman who's been over to notarize stuff all the time over to my house. I just love the idea that I call her up. And I've probably notarized, you know, contracts and stuff and insurance things. I've probably had her over to my house to notarize things like, you know, 30 times. She knows how to drive here. You know, I call her up and go, I got to have this notarized. I think her name is Maria.
I know it's late.
And she drives over, right? And she makes sure whatever it is, $30, and she notarizes it. Can you imagine if she showed up and I'm in like full sub or dom drag and there's like
Well, there would be a job spike in that case. You know,
wow, wouldn't there be? And then you have to stand there. And this is, you know, this is part of, like, the cool, like, humiliation sexiness of it, is you have to stand there in your full SM drag, and you have to say, excuse me, Miss Alvarez, can I have this notarized, please? I just want to ask. Could you sign that in your book? Okay, Penn, just sign the book, okay? And now sign here, and there's my seal. Play ball!
That would revolutionize.
Yes.
I cannot speak. The notary business. This is so exciting.
This is the greatest
open
thing.
24 and hours. First off, we make house calls. The money for notaries is going to go way up.
No.
It's going to be a much better job.
No, it's not. You're forgetting the basic rule of economics.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Supply and demand. Because Happy Jack is signing up to be a notary right now. Every single person on the planet would be a notary. You need a notary? Are you going to have some SM fun tonight? You need a notary? I'll come over. You need a notary? And you can do it for prostitution, too.
Be like real estate agents.
And then in his idea, you make prostitution legal, and every single unemployed woman becomes a prostitute instantly.
And a notary.
But then she's no longer unemployed.
Yeah,
so it's a catch-22 there. Thank you very much for your call.
That's Mike.
You know, I think when you... when you host a radio show like we are on Free FM, of course, you don't even bother turning your phone off, but some of us take it seriously on Free FM. The call you dream of, I mean, the holy grail of calls, is a guy who will call in and just say outright, if there were no laws against prostitution, any woman without a job would do it. Oh, and you know, the only one I can come up with who wouldn't is Lily Tomlin. You know, that's the comedy brain at work. Okay, who is the exception? Who is the person that wouldn't do that? But I should have asked him. See, we hung up on him too early. The question I should have asked him is, if male prostitution were legal, would all men be, would you engage in gay sex for money, is what I should have asked him. And then someone would quote me out of context and say, Penn solicits men for sex on air. you know, I might as well. I just might as well. We have any other calls you want to take?
Of course we do.
Of course we do.
Let's talk to line 6. This is Jared.
Hello, Jared.
Hey, how's it going, Penn? Love the show.
Never better, boss. How you doing, man? Thank you so much.
Pretty much, if I'm not mistaken, the laws in Louisiana regarding prostitution can be traced back to the Navy. And basically what had happened was a huge syphilis and gonorrhea breakout in Louisiana. And at that time, they started to outlaw prostitution basically to prevent the spread of those diseases. Now, religion is probably what keeping it illegal. You know, I'm sure the local ministers were more than happy to hop onto that plague
Finish
of God to
keep it down. I thought you were going to say the local clergy are more than happy to hop onto that sailor, which I think is probably also true.
Probably. But yeah,
so
that's where the laws originally came from.
So your point is very simply that getting beat up is safer than having sex, and therefore you should be able to pay to get beat up, because paying for sex is could get you diseases, but having sex for free is disease free, and getting beat up for free is disease full. Is that your point?
That'd be exactly the point. That's what I'm trying to sum up right there.
And do you think just because you're a caller, I'm going to blame you for the last caller's sins. Do you think if prostitution were legal across the board that every unemployed woman would be a whore?
Well, they are whores.
Thank you so much. This is
we should give his Gmail address.
866-313-FREE 3733. We'll be back after this to talk about Katie Couric versus my buddy Gid from the service, and we'll be reading his letter, his open letter to Katie Couric, right after this on 866-313-3733. Penn Jillette here. We're talking talking about dominatrix, dominant, and BDSM that we're talking about. You have to use the initials because we have trouble saying the words. Our friend Quinn in New York writes in and says, what does a mime do for a safe word? And she only asked that question, not just for the joke, but so she can imagine Shields and Yarnell tied up and left for dead. You know, I also Emo Phillips has that fabulous joke where he says, Jesus Christ, poor bastard, forget his safe word. For those who don't know, the reason I asked her about safe words, the woman that called up, was when you do serious BDSM play, when that's the kind of thing you're involved in, sadomasochism, it is customary to have a safe word that you wouldn't say at all during the play that would stop everything dead instantly. It just means game over, you know. So you want to have that, a phrase that you would never use. I had one friend of mine said that her safe word was that was her safe word. ow was a great safe word. Yeah, ow was a great safe word. But also, you know, boy, that Nixon got a hell of a break. Why don't they get off his back? That would be a really good safe word phrase. Something you would never, ever say. Never,
Charo.
Ever say. Boy, that Clinton was a hell of a good president, huh? Wasn't he great? Something you would never, ever say. We had some other letters, didn't we? We had that letter from, what's her name? Hellbound
Ali.
Hellbound Ali, which is Hellbound
Ali.
And I guess she has an hour podcast show of her own, not on CBS FM, so you shouldn't plug it too much, I suppose. But what did she say?
You know, I've actually filed the letter. But hers was, you know, I'm definitely a vanilla, but my fantasy is to punch the guy who said all women are prostitutes in the mouth.
Yeah, I guess he needs a safe word. We got anything else we want to get to on this? Are there any calls you want to take, or should we get to the GID letter?
No, let's take another call.
Okay, sure.
I think we should go to line 10.
Hey, line 10, how you doing?
Hey, Ben. Been a long-time fan of yours, and I love your show.
Thanks so much.
I just wanted to clarify a little bit about the legal distinguishment between paying for BDSM and not paying for it.
Uh-huh.
You can consent to an assault because it's an unwanted touching. So if you want someone to touch you, you can let them do that, and then you won't get prosecuted. But the state won't let you consent because you can't give up that right that you have not to be assaulted without some sort of consideration in a contract. And that's why money has to change hands.
Oh, so it's consideration in a contract.
Right. If money changes hands, then the state goes, oh, well, we know you really wanted to be hit, because you paid for it.
But why wouldn't that go, if that's, I understand the logic, and it seems really good, but why doesn't that go all the way? Why can't I then, if I'm terminally ill or very depressed, why can't I pay you $50 to kill me?
Mostly because of the public policy that the state won't let you do that. And it's mostly because we don't live in a good libertarian society.
But what I mean is, why are they choosing to draw the line between assault and murder?
It has a lot to do with that being considered not totally contrary to public policy. I mean, if people want to hit each other in their bedroom, it's not a big enough deal that they're going to say no one can contract for it ever. Whereas murder is a big enough deal, they're going to be like, nah, you can't do that.
Now, what about people who box for free? I mean, boxing is just SM, right? I mean, is there anything different between boxing and S&M?
If you boxed for free,
which people do all the time,
they've said that because you're participating in a sporting event, if you sign that waiver, you can waive those rights to be injured. I know that the NFL had something like this, where a guy had entered into a contract as a football player,
mm-hmm.
and he got really badly hurt, and he tried to sue, and they said, you know, you knew what you were getting into. You signed a contract, and he got paid for it. It's a little fuzzier when you don't get paid.
Why did they bust those bum fight guys? You know the bum fight guys?
The 3-1-1?
That probably had more to do with just being stupid and putting yourself out on the internet.
But, you know, they have those bum fight videos. I've never seen one where they pay people, they pay bums money and alcohol to do disgusting things and fight each other and so on. And those guys just got busted, right? It was just in the paper
today.
Yeah. Well, where'd they get busted at?
I thought it was in Vegas.
Yeah, it's here.
Oh, yeah, well, I thought it was in Vegas.
It probably has a lot to do with in Vegas, the Nevada Board of Gaming or somebody regulates boxing. So if the state regulates an area, you can't act in that area without being underneath the auspices of that regulatory body.
Okay. Well,
wow.
Thanks a lot.
Not that I'm a lawyer.
So
I'm not giving you any advice, but
I know, you're not a lawyer. What do you do for a living?
School.
What's that? And
I'm in law school. So
oh, you're in law school, but you're not a lawyer. Not giving advice.
Not
and what's your
advice.
Safe word?
I don't have one.
Is a really good safe word. Well, thanks a lot, man. You know, the good thing about law students is their advice, although they can't give it to you, is so much cheaper. And lawyers do that same kind of thing. Because if a lawyer gives you bad advice and you pay him, right, he's not liable. But if a lawyer gives you bad advice and you don't pay him, I think he's in trouble. It's the exact same. So it's very clear that all of America has an SM relationship with lawyers. Do we have any other calls you want to take? Should I give this next thing?
Go to the next thing. That's
okay.
Fine.
Katie Couric said there was no atheists in foxholes. And I wrote to a friend of mine and asked him to write a letter back to her. I'm going to read this now. We might get into more of it tomorrow. It's a pretty touching letter. I met this guy, Gid, because he sent me his dog tags. He has the first dog tags in the United States of America that have atheist as his religion. And he had seen me speak on TV and had seen a few things and was very felt we were similar minds, which we are, and sent me the dog tags. It was one of my most prized possessions. I have them up and framed with a lot of his other medals. It meant a lot to me. Here's the letter he wrote. And I should say, in full disclosure, I asked him to write a letter to Katie Couric, and I told him about her statement that she said there were no atheists in foxholes, and also followed it with some statements about now our government officials were following God implied the way they should. Here's what Gid wrote. Dear Ms. Couric, while there's nothing wrong with a program highlighting the role religion has played in America's armed forces, I find your mindless parroting of that silly old aphorism, there are no atheists in foxholes, to be thoughtless and downright offensive to the families of uncountable numbers of atheists, and I include agnostics, who gave their lives wearing the uniform of the American armed forces. Oh, yes, there are and always have been atheists, both draftees and volunteers on the battlefield, many of whom bear the scars of war or are resting, ironically, below white crosses in battlefield cemeteries throughout the world. I'm in a position to know. After initially being nominated to West Point, I enlisted in the United States Army as a private in 1964 and served 21 years on active duty, retiring as a master sergeant in 1985. As one who is not shy about proclaiming my firm non-belief in any supernatural nonsense, religious or otherwise, I became aware of literally thousands of fellow atheists in uniform all over the world. Some were overt and public about their beliefs, some were not, but I never met one who did not take seriously his sworn obligation to serve honorably and lay down his life if necessary. Many did. The military is fully aware of the existence of atheists in uniform and, in fact, makes specific allowances for us in the oath of enlistment. In the oath, there is a clear choice. We can swear, basically before God, the great pumpkin, whatever, to serve our country, or we can affirm the oath. There are no Bibles or other sacred books used in this oath, unlike for some political offices, and the only item required to be present is the American flag. All my reenlistments were affirmed, as were hundreds of others I witnessed. Among these affirmed oaths, I personally counted dozens of soldiers wearing purple hearts, brown stars, and at least 5 silver stars. Among them were special forces, rangers, intelligence officers, artillerymen, tank crewmen, helicopter crewmen, cooks, paratroopers, combat medics, truck drivers, and infantrymen. No atheists in foxholes? I beg to differ. Preachers may blather on about serving for God and country, but as any number of combat studies have proven, that is pure crap, to use traditional military term. Soldiers certainly do enlist for patriotic motives, and many of them no doubt have deeply held religious beliefs, but this is not why in the heat of combat they risk their lives. They risk their lives for their fellow soldiers, to not let their comrades down and to assure the survival of their buddies and themselves by getting the job done as rapidly and brutally as possible. Broadcasting a feel-good puff piece on religion is all well and good, but perpetuating the nonsense that only religious zealots defend their country is not only offensive, but demonstrably wrong. Most atheists and agnostics in uniform get stuck with the Army's favorite euphemism, no religious preference, on their dog tags. But mine simply said atheist. After some initial arguments after some initial arguments with my superiors. I'm offended by your comments, primarily in memory of the silent masses of non-believers who did not make it back to object to your treatment of their deeply held beliefs. I believe you and NBC owe them an apology. Gid L. White, Master Sergeant, United States Army, retired. Put that in your anchor pipe and smoke it, you unpatriotic bitch.
Wow.
That whole part after his name,
yeah,
that was me ad-libbing. Everything else was...
Yeah, I thought he was pretty polite and well-reasoned.
He was very polite and well-reasoned, and then
took a swing at Katie.
That kind of choked me up a little bit. I mean, Gid is a real hero to me, and he's written me stuff. He's one of these guys that when he writes you emails and he disagrees with you, you know he knows so much more than you that it's just this, you know, I would go on TV and make statements about things that I believe strongly, like gays in the military and that, you know, the war in Iraq was wrong, two things I believe strongly, and would get long, well-reasoned letters from Gid. And I'm always, every time Gid writes me a letter on a different side from what I believe, I always have to think twice whenever I make my position. I have to do more. I still think I disagree with him on some things. But, man, I mean, I don't think Katie Couric should. He has really, really strong stuff. You know, it's kind of like a guy wrote this letter into us about atheists and foxholes. It's Ryan, an out-of-the-closet atheist. And he recently watched that documentary called Touching the Void, where two mountain climbers whose trip goes wrong. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
One of the really cool parts of the docudrama was one of the climbers talks about the fact that he's an atheist and he held firm to his lack of belief, even in the face of death, after falling several stories into a crevice and being abandoned by his partner halfway up the mountain. He ended up surviving after crawling his way back to camp for days with a severely broken leg. It never crossed his mind that maybe there was a God. The emptiness was so real that he really believed there was nothing after you die, and that's what kept him alive and kept him going. So I'm not saying that there aren't people who are very religious in the military, and I'm not going to go into the founding fathers being religious. I think everybody knows that they weren't, or they were at best mixed, and they came over here to get away from religious intolerance, and they certainly had a huge tolerance for deists, who are just one step short of agnostics, who are just one step short of atheists. But I thought that it was important that Gid answer that, you know, because I could hear the Katie Couric thing, and I'd come on as another raving lunatic atheist saying she has no right to say that, and certainly they're atheists in foxholes. But hearing from a man who served proudly in the United States Army, and I'll tell you, he sent me, you know, his medals and stuff, and he's talking about other people winning all these medals. Gid had just plenty of them, and he's a really powerful speaker, a powerful writer. I've never heard him speak, never seen him, but he's a real big hero of mine. And I think that Katie Couric does owe an apology, not to me, because I'm an atheist that never served his country, but I think she owes an apology to Gid, and as Gid said very strongly, the other people that did not come back, who did not believe and fought and died for their country. This is Penn Jillette. We're going to be back on Monday. I want to talk some more about this because we got a letter that asked about have I ever been sure I was going to die and how I reacted to that. And I got a story about that,
really?
Incidentally, Michael Goodell. And so we'll be talking Monday. Don't forget, next Wednesday we're going to have on Chris Bliss, the juggler who did the Beatles juggling routine, to talk about everything. Just jugglers sitting around talking on Free FM. Man, that good letter. Oof.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.